Unbelief and Punishment, Chapter 41. There they come, finally. Where are they? Look, over there. Every one of the 12 is walking this way. This information spreads like wildfire through the camp of the Israelites. All the men, women, and children come out of their tents. Scarcely anyone remains inside, so it isn't very long before the area is black with people. They stretch their necks, burning with impatience and inquisitiveness. Calmly, and with an even pace, these 12 men approach from the distance. Who are these men? From where do they come? Where have they been? Listen, and I will tell you. The children of Israel have now come near the borders of the land of Canaan. The extensive wilderness lay behind them. The journey had been difficult, and great dangers have threatened them, but the Lord had protected them in all places and brought them safely to Kadesh Barnea. Sometimes a ship will draw near a safe harbor. Probably days and weeks it had sailed over the large ocean. Perhaps it had stormed violently, but now it lies in the harbor. It is safe there. So it is now with the children of Israel. They are ready to enter the land of Canaan. They have heard a great deal about this land. Their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had lived there, but they had never seen it. Nearly every one of them had been born in Egypt and had lived there in hard bondage as slaves. Oh, they were so inquisitive. What is it like there? The inhabitants who now live there must be driven out. But do many people live there? Are the cities large and strong? All kinds of questions arise in their minds, and they have no answer to any of them. They go to Moses and Aaron. May a few of our men go to look, they ask. They can search the land, and later they can show us the way. Moses agrees, and the Lord also grants them their request. 12 men are chosen by Moses, one from each tribe. Purposely, Moses takes a ruler, one of the most distinguished men from every tribe. They must get ready to go. It is a dangerous undertaking. They must secretly search the land of the enemy. Thus, they are really spies, and they are troubled, for they think as long as the Canaanites will not harm them, as long as they will not be captured, as long as they will not be slain. Therefore they hesitate, but Moses speaks encouraging words to them. Go, he says, view the country to see whether it be a good or a bad land. Go from one end of the land to the other, from the south to the north, and from the east to the west. Be strengthened, and do not be afraid. Fear not, for the Lord can keep and protect you. Behold, they leave. They climb the mountains as thousands stare after them and wave to them. Finally, they disappear from sight. The Israelites return to their tents. The only thing they can do is wait. Did they pray for these 12 men? We do not know. Probably a few did, but the majority did not. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks slowly pass by. Day after day they are on the watch for them. Finally, it is 4-5 weeks since they have been gone. It is taking so long. If only no disasters have overtaken them. If only they have not been slain. The Israelites become anxious. But finally, after 40 days, the cry is heard, "They are coming." Is it any wonder that the land is soon black with people? There they come. Some of the people quickly run to meet them. Now, how is it? What does it look like? Is it fruitful? Are the Canaanites strong? Do many live there? Numerous questions are asked. Oh, look at that enormous bunch of grapes. They have brought along a cluster of grapes so large that two men had to carry it on a stick between them. Others have figs and pomegranates with them. The men do not answer any of these questions. They walk forward in silence until they come to Moses and Aaron. The people walk along, forming a large circle around these men. They crowd each other so that they can hear better. A few even stand upon their tents. These men look so gloomy. It doesn't seem as though they are happy. "Now tell us," Moses asks, "how did you fare on your journey, and what did you see?" Their answer rings out, "It is really a good land, a fruitful land. All you have to do is look at the fruits which we have brought along. We have never seen such large clusters of grapes. It is a land that flows with milk and honey." They are silent for a moment. It is breathlessly quiet. Everyone listens in suspense. Listen, they are telling more. "But the people who live there are exceptionally strong. They have built cities surrounded by thick, strong walls. Cities so strong that it isn't possible to reduce them. Besides, exceedingly tall people live there. Giants." They again are silent. They stare dejectedly into space and shake their heads. People see that. It is deathly quiet for a moment, but then mumbling is heard. The Israelites talk together about what they have heard. The people also look sad. "If that is so, then we will never enter Canaan," they say to each other. "That is something," another cries out. "Here we stand. What must we do now?" People grumble and complain. It sounds as a hum of voices through each other. They stand together in groups and discuss the situation. Suddenly, a voice calls clearly and distinctly, "People, be quiet. Listen to me." It comes from one of the 12 spies. He has a right to speak, for he had been with them. His name is Caleb. It is again quiet as the mumbling ceased. Everyone listens. "Men," Caleb continues, "it is true. The countries are strong. The walls of the cities are high and wide, and giants really live there. But still, we will be able to reduce and conquer them. For the Lord has promised that to us. God is mightier than all the Canaanites together. O men, have faith in God. He will make us conquerors of that land. The Canaanites will be defeated by us. You need not have any doubt of that." The people are silent for a while. Another one of the 12 spies says the same thing, for he had been with them too. He is Joshua, the same man who had been their commander when they defeated the Amalekites. He also tells the people that God is almighty. But the other 10 spies shake their heads. People, they say, you must not believe Joshua and Caleb. They present the case far too easy. It is impossible to conquer those strong cities. The country is far too strong. We will never be able to defeat the Canaanites. These 10 men do not believe that God can and will help them. They believe that the Canaanites are mightier than God. Isn't that terrible? The people look from Joshua and Caleb to the other 10 spies, then back again to Joshua and Caleb. It is quiet for some time, but then the weeping and complaining begin anew. Oh, we should never have gone from Egypt. Now we will be slain by the Canaanites, and our wives and children will all die in this wilderness. Had we but remained in Egypt, had we but died in Egypt, why did the Lord bring us here? Do you hear that? They blame the Lord. They are so unthankful, aren't they? What about all the miracles that have been performed, such as the 10 plagues of Egypt, the passing through the Red Sea, the manna, the water from the rock, the quails? Alas, they no longer think of those things. Do you know what we should do? They say to each other. And we should choose another leader and return to Egypt. Moses and Aaron stand among them. They rend their clothes. They frighten because of the wickedness of the people. They fear the wrath of the Lord. Joshua and Caleb jump among the people and cry, "Men, why don't you be quiet? You will not die in this wilderness, neither will your wives and children. We will come into the land of Canaan. God has promised that, and what the Lord promised will surely come to pass." But the Israelites will not listen to them. They become angry. They are infuriated at Joshua and Caleb. Yes, at Moses and Aaron too. "We will not let ourselves be deceived any longer," they scream. "We will never get there. If you do not keep still, we will stone you to death." Fists are clenched. Some already stoop and pick up stones, ready to throw at Joshua and Caleb. They are lost. Who will deliver them? Their life hangs on a silk thread. Suddenly, a blinding light shines from the pillar of a cloud. The glory of the Lord appears. The Lord will let them see that He is still there. The Israelites frighten. At once it becomes extremely quiet. They let fall the stones which they have picked up to throw at Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. The Lord speaks to Moses, saying, "How long will this people provoke me? Why don't they believe in my almighty power? Didn't I do enough miracles among them? Now my patience is at an end. I will send terrible diseases among them, pestilences. I will disinherit them. And I will make of you a greater and mightier nation." Moses falls upon his knees and prays, "O Lord, do not do that. The Egyptians will hear it and laugh about it. The Egyptians will say, because the God of the Israelites could not bring them into Canaan. Therefore he slew them in the wilderness. O Lord, and they will then think that the gods of the Canaanites are stronger and mightier than thou. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? That prayer is answered. It is well, says the Lord. I will not slay them all at once, but they may not enter the land of Canaan. At first, they did not want to go in. Now they may not. All the men and the women too, who are older than 20 years, shall die in this wilderness. Your children shall enter into the land of Canaan, but not you. Oh, look, the 10 spies, who did not believe that God would help them, fall dead upon the ground. This is the Lord's punishment because of their unbelief. Joshua and Caleb, who also were spies and had gone with them, do not fall dead. No, they remain alive. Yes, they alone will be permitted to enter the land of Canaan. The reason was that these 2 men believed that the Lord would help them. The Lord gave Joshua and Caleb this blessing. The Israelites hear this terrible judgment and are sorry because of it. Not sorry because they have sinned. Oh no, they only think it a pity that they may not enter the land of Canaan. The command of the Lord rings out. Turn around. They must return to the wilderness. And there they will roam about for 40 years, until all the men and women who are now older than 20 years shall die. The Israelites think this is terrible. Is there nothing to do about it? Do you know what? Unanimously they go to Moses. We will go up, they say. We will go and fight. We have done wrong, and we will make it good again. No, Moses answers, you cannot go. The Lord will not help you. Hearken to me and do not do it, because it won't do you any good. You will be defeated. But they would not listen. The following morning they climb the mountain. Again they are disobedient. The command of the Lord is to return, and they go forward. But it is of no use. They are sadly defeated, and hundreds are slain by the Canaanites. Yes, now they see it themselves. They may not go. They must return, whether they want to or not. Behold, they march further and further into the wilderness. How pitiful, isn't it? They were so close to Canaan, but not able to enter therein. Yes, it is a pity, but it is their own fault. It is the punishment upon them for their unbelief. But boys and girls, it is also said to us that we must forsake sin, that we must receive a new heart, that we must be converted. If we will not listen, if we will not believe it, then we do exactly the same as the Israelites. Then we will never enter into the heavenly Canaan, which means heaven, but we must die in the wilderness, which means that we will be lost forever. That will then be the punishment upon our unbelief, and we will also regret it, but it will be too late. Seek the Lord while he may be found.